And good afternoon and welcome to Sound Bites, the edition of November 5th, 1989. I'm Bob Smith, inviting you to join us. Coming up, of course, in the first portion of our program, right after the latest in news, we'll have with us representatives of two of the most prominent computer users groups in the area. We'll find out about PC users groups, what their groups do, and what they can do for you. We've got representatives of PC Cubed, which of course serves the IBM-compatible community, and Apple Cider, for those of you in the Macintosh and Apple II world. So whatever computer you're using, you're going to be covered. Then in the second portion of the program, we'll be hearing from Seth Madway of Wenset Enterprises, who is a local Lotus 123 programmer. We're going to be delving into the world of spreadsheets, which so many of us have occasion to use on a regular basis. And Paul Carroll of the Wall Street Journal, taking a look at the huge plunge in compact computer stock prices. But first, let's go to the week's news. Tomorrow is the day Compaq is supposed to be rolling out its new generation of more powerful computers based on the Intel 486 microchip. But last week's disclosure of bugs in early production chips may put shipment on hold, if not necessarily delaying the formal introduction. We asked InfoWorld editor-in-chief Michael Miller what the chip problems might do to Compaq's plans.
They certainly have an announcement scheduled for November 6th. And one would assume that they were planning to announce the 486 at that point. IBM, in fact, announced a couple weeks ago that they started shipments of the 486, and they have recently suspended shipments for the same reason. I think what this means is that it's going to change some of the marketing plans, but it's not really going to change the machines that much. It just means that people are going to have to wait a few more weeks before they actually get their hands on a 486 machine.
Compaq and other manufacturers say they will be ready to roll when the chips do arrive in volume. A corrected version of the chip has been developed and is expected to ship in volume in the next 4 to 8 weeks. The anemic profit performance of Compaq called Wall Streeters to desert the stock in droves, with almost a 20% drop in value in 1 week after the firm reported a 10% drop in profits for the quarter just ended. Other high-tech stocks in both hardware and software fields also lost heavily last week, as analysts became convinced the days of explosive growth in the computing industry may be over, and the industry is entering a more mature phase. Well, even as computers become a bigger part of our lives, computerized programmed stock trading is fading away. Two more major firms, Kidder Peabody and Merrill Lynch, have announced this week that they are curtailing or halting stock index-based trading, which is invariably computer-driven. Merrill Lynch is also lobbying for higher down payment requirements and limits on price moves for transactions involving private program trading. Japan seems synonymous with high-tech, but a survey done this week by the Wall Street Journal shows it is years behind the United States in computerizing office operations in both manufacturing and service industries. PC sales in Japan are finally beginning to take off. However, they are up about 34% over last year, but the U.S. market has shown the same growth rate. So experts say it will be many years before the Japanese automate office procedures to the same extent as the United States. Meanwhile, American PC makers, including Apple and IBM, and American software giants, including Lotus and Microsoft, are expected to claim a major share of Japan's PC business because few Japanese firms offer analogous products. The Wall Street Journal also surveyed users of those PCs that are now in Japanese offices and found that very few are networked or programmed for multiple tasks, ranging from word processing to spreadsheet calculation and database analysis, as is common in the American office. A familiar name is returning to the personal computing field. Texas Instruments is getting back into the fastest-growing segment of the PC market by introducing three new portable models. Wall Streeters approved of the move by sending the stock upwards this week. The boom in laptops, meanwhile, is making one Silicon Valley company particularly rich. Connor Peripherals of San Jose started from essentially nothing 3 years ago. Last week, they announced quarterly sales of $184 million, mostly in the hard drives that they make for almost all the current generation of laptop computers. They are expected to post $650 million in sales for the year, making this the fastest-growing industrial startup of any kind in American history, eclipsing the old record holder, which happens to be Compaq. Despite expected competition from Seagate and Toshiba, company founder Finis Connor says he expects growth to continue, because his firm has just introduced drives this week for the new generation of notebook-style laptop machines. Connor says those drives will make up about 35% of his firm's volume next year. Apple Computer's decision to divorce from its former exclusive type font software source, Adobe Systems, made it an extra $48 million last month. Apple had held 15% of Adobe stock, which it sold just before announcing its new cooperative development program with the Microsoft organization. Apple Computer's involved in another lawsuit, this time in the unaccustomed role of defendant. QuickView Systems is suing Apple in federal court in Minneapolis, alleging that Apple's popular HyperCard software package violated a QuickView patent by allowing users to put portions of multiple fields on screen with the ability to see the full contents of any given field. The HyperCard program accompanies every Macintosh machine and allows users to design applications for the computer without extensive programming experience. You're listening to Soundbites on WXXI, and that's this week's computer news. Oh, and the manuals don't tell you, and the vendors can't help you. Who are you going to call? Well, sometimes a user group can help you, not only in getting the most out of your computer, but in orienting yourself in every way to its capabilities, its strengths, and its weaknesses, as well as perhaps teaching you some things even the manuals and the vendors don't know. And that's what we're going to be talking about this hour, and that's what we invite you to plug in on as well at 263-WXXI as we become, perhaps for a moment at least, a user group of the air. With us are representatives of two of the most prominent user groups representing both the PC-compatible and the Apple and Macintosh world. We have with us Debbie DeNome, Bob Bysang, Dave Woodruff of PC Cubed, the IBM-compatible organization, and Ron Doherty of Apple Cider. So the PC and the Macintosh worlds are both very well represented around the table this hour. And of course, if you're a user of either type of machine, call in with your questions at 263-WXXI, 263-9994, and we'd be delighted to do whatever we can. But I think first thing to do is talk about what a user group is and what would happen if, say, for example, I were to go to either one of your organizations during a particular monthly or weekly meeting and just jump inside cold. What would I find? What would I see?
Initially, the officers get up and give a presentation on what's happening, what's coming up, the status of the Treasury, obviously, the basically a non-profit organization, so they don't have a lot of money, but and then after that...
That's why they call them non-profits, right?
Right. And then after that, generally we have a question and answer session where anybody can get up and ask any question they feel like asking. And then we have a main presentation, which generally is a WordPerfect or a Lotus or somebody presenting a hardware or software. They're selling their wares, basically. And then after that main presentation, generally we have SIGs meet for an hour.
We should mention what those are. Those are special interest groups, right?
Special interest groups consisting of, in our case, we have a Lotus SIG, we have a D-based
SIG, we have a C-SIG, we have a SIG called Enable SIG, which is an integrated software package. What other SIGs am I missing here?
Seems like there's almost an endless variety depending on what kind of software you like to use or what kind of machines that you have, right? Just within your group alone, fair to say?
I would say if you're interested in some software or hardware, there's usually somebody that you can hook up with and talk about it.
Ron, I must admit, I don't live in the Macintosh world myself. I've got an XT myself, so I haven't really had that much experience with the Apple world, but would it be fair to say that that's pretty much what happens when Macintosh users get together and get to the core of things, if you'll pardon the pun?
Well, our group is basically aligned along the same lines as PC Cubed. We cover the Macintosh and the Apple II groups, so after our general meeting, which lasts for about a half an hour, we split up. The Apple II people meet in one room, the Macintosh people meet in another room. But otherwise, we have the same general format, question and answers, main presentation. We usually have a software vendor in or a hardware vendor, something like that.
So you'll have people who are offering new products sort of try to get you acquainted with what's going on then, too.
Right.
263-WXXI, incidentally, is how you get acquainted with what's going on. Tell you what, let's go to the phones right now and find out what's on your mind. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question about job opportunities in the future. I'm currently going to grad school for computer science. Is it worth doing this, or is it such that everybody's going to be contracted, and you do all your work, and then they cut you off at the knees and canyon? Or, what's likely to happen in the industry?
And you're wondering whether or not there are any real permanent job opportunities in computer science. And again, we mentioned for those who didn't catch it, you are a computer grad student.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. advice to the career lorn, shall we say, perhaps, to start with here? Would that be fair to say that that's what we're looking for? Maybe you want to take that one on?
And not in a cynical way, though. The thing is that electrical engineering has changed, too. There are no more permanent jobs. And it's hard to know how to prepare oneself for this type of environment. Do you have to know everything about everything, or do you just have to be Steve Jobs and sell $1 billion worth of computers a year?
That wouldn't hurt.
Hmm.
Well, first of all, I think one of the first things you should do is become a PC Cube member.
I understand, sir. You're absolutely correct.
And I say that mostly because any number of times that we meet, I get questions from our membership of, gee, we're looking for somebody who knows this or knows how to do this. Certainly, if you come to any one, even a single meeting of ours, there's over 200 people you can talk to who can give you lots of insights as to who's doing what, who's hiring, who's not, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of our earlier members, a gentleman by the name of Doug Herko, went off and started his own company.
I've heard of that gentleman.
Where he sells his own machines. So there's even potential not only to work for somebody else, but to set up your own operation, and that's what Doug did.
Well, let me rephrase the question in a little more detail. The people I think that are really making it are the temporary help agencies, whether they make it in terms of slaves or higher paid professionals. And the whole idea is you don't pay people benefits. You keep them on a project basis, and when they're done, you just throw them away. And that way you get maximum amount of dollars. But it seems like an unethical way to hire people, actually. Is that likely to continue, and how do I fight back?
That's an interesting question, which almost gets into the areas of employment practices, hiring, and business. What you've almost done is anticipated something we're going to be doing on another program, 1370 Connection, tomorrow morning during the 11 o'clock hour. You might want to be listening at that time. Because
I always am, Bob.
That's very good. But what we're going to be doing, basically, is talking about prospects for businesses large and small. And one thing that we found out during a conversation we recorded recently with the senior editor of Inc. magazine, which, of course, is a small business-oriented publication, is that while it's true that everything you're describing is happening to a large degree, not exclusively, but happening to a large degree in large companies, there are much fewer jobs of permanent nature and of a secure nature available in the big boys. A lot of the smaller businesses are not that way. Now, maybe you might be giving up a few dollars in salary and perhaps a few benefits initially, but in the long run, from what I've understood, there's a lot more long-term security and stability working for a smaller to mid-sized organization. So if you think about one of those, then you may find that you're getting what you're looking for.
One other quick question, sir, because I know you probably have other people on the line. Is it worth going for a doctorate or not? You know, in other words, is it worth it to play the academic game anymore or not?
That's an interesting question. I'm seeing some shaking heads around here. Ron, you're shaking your head no. Tell me why you are.
Personally, I don't think so. A group of us from the Apple Cider Group, who all have BSs or less, have formed our own startup company this year, and it's been going very well. And again, none of us have doctorates, and in fact, it seems that the time you spend working for your doctorate could be spent much more valuably working in the field and actually getting experience, where that's where the paycheck's going to come from, not from the three letters after your name.
Yeah, I agree.
I will bet you we've got some people from graduate schools who are probably tearing their hair out collectively hearing that right now. I'd be interested to know if any of them would care to voice their opinions at 263-WXXI, where incidentally you can voice yours right now as we continue on Sound Bites. Perhaps we have stirred up a bit of a controversy and maybe in a sense raised a question. Is something like a users group kind of a collective exchange of information? That's how it's supposed to work. Is that, or can it be, more valuable than staying in graduate school and going for a graduate degree, or even bothering to go for a degree at all? Because we all know about the cases of Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak who never bothered finishing their undergraduate degrees. I wonder. That's an intriguing question that this caller's implicitly raised, and I wonder whether maybe they could learn more showing up at monthly or weekly meetings than they could spending their time hunched over a terminal at a university someplace.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think, at least initially, that BS really puts your foot in the door a lot easier, or at least some tangible something you can hold in your hand, some experience, some job experience. For instance, I have 4 years Navy. Which helped a lot. I don't think just saying I'm going to go to a users group and learn everything there is to know is going to get it.
Right. We're getting smiles from across the glass. Incidentally, our technical director, Esther Vail, is a former Navy officer herself, so I think she's very pleased in that. But I'm wondering something else, too. You mentioned the BS is important. Now, we've got perhaps a difference of opinion as to how far you need to go or whether you should bother to go beyond the bachelor's degree here.
Well, I think that what people want to understand is the days of Steve Jobs are gone. They really are. No longer can you start your own computer company from your garage. That's it. There are a lot bigger players now with a lot more money to play with. Some education, as like Bob mentioned, having a BS is very, very important. But as you get into the higher levels, I would throw the following idea. One of the most enjoyable and most learning situations that I ever had in college is when we actually talked to people who were doing what we were learning about in the industry. There are no better forums than a users group, particularly Apple Cider or PC Cube, where you can go and talk to the people who actually are doing it. In a PC Cube meeting, when you're talking to Alan Archer, who's the president of WordPerfect, you're talking to one of the big boy leaders. You can learn more from them in 15 minutes than any professional instructor can teach you in a whole semester.
I wonder something. You talk about the people who come there. You mentioned your guest speakers. Who normally comes to one of these groups? And I presume they come to them with perhaps varying expectations or varying needs, too. Well, who's likely to become a member, and who's likely to stay a member and profit from it all?
I think the people that we get are a special group of people. They really like at least PCQ because they know the type of people that are there. We get a very good reception from the computer industry because they can come and they don't wind up talking to a lot of people who are, I know about computers. They wind up talking to people who use them in business, who have specific needs. In fact, a lot of people like to come to PC Cube because they meet a very nice cross-section from individual users to very high corporate end people who are responsible for buying 30 or 40 machines at a shop. And they get to talk to them about what they really need to do, what they're using with their machines. In fact, we've discussed this a number of times, that one of the shortcomings of software manufacturers are they're so busy with the features war. And they all talk about how the end user is really important. They very rarely get a chance to find out what the end users are really doing. And one of the reasons why people like to come to PC Cube meetings to do their presentations, why we get folks like Alan Archer, who's the president of WordPerfect, and why we get folks from Borland and so forth, is because this gives them an opportunity to really put their money where their talk has always been and actually get a chance to talk to real live end users, find out what they like about the product, what they don't like, what they really want to have, and what they... part of the features that's a part of the features war that they don't really care about.
That really is changing. Software vendors today are more and more providing special people to come to users groups specifically to do their presentations and try to show to the users what the value is in their features wars. And I think it's changing for the better, hopefully.
This is very interesting. Now, you mentioned software people in particular. And I'm reminded of a program that we did a few weeks ago with Alice LaPlante of InfoWorld when we were talking about various aspects of support. And one thing that stuck out, I think, in everybody's mind, callers and the people who we were interviewing on that particular segment of the program, was that hardware manufacturers tend to become more and more remote from their marketplaces, whereas maybe the software people are trying to stay a little closer to the street. Is that a fair assessment of the way things are happening right now? Are the hardware makers becoming more and more remote and up on Mount Olympus, and are the software makers staying smarter and staying closer to the people who are using them?
I'd say to some degree, yes, on the hardware front. Take a look at Apple Portable, for instance. I'm not Apple Cider, but the nifty thing that they did with the keyboard with the trackball on one side and the keypad on the other, and you can swap them around if you like. Boy, that's really slick hardware that I hate to say it, PCs nobody's ever even attempted.
So it looks like the IBM world has got a ways to go in relating to their users. Now, okay, let's go to the Apple side right now. Would you say that Apple's staying in touch with you and working out your needs, or how are you relating to the people who really are providing your hardware?
Well, we have a good opportunity in that large portion of our group are Apple developers, and so we have a very direct line into Apple. In fact, we many times have information out of Apple faster than the dealers in town do. So the users group is definitely a closer connection to Apple itself than the dealers in town or the vendors in town. And at our meetings, a lot of the new ideas are bantered about. And we've had like Guy Kawasaki from Asus in to demonstrate his new product, which most people knew as much or had even better ideas for it than what he was presenting. And I think that's where the software and hardware vendors that come to our group benefit from, mostly from finding out exactly what the users want. Instead of showing off their product, they're saying, well, here it is, what can we do to make it better? And they listen very carefully to our membership.
Well, the users group of the listening audience is participating as well at 263-WXXI, 263-9994. That is how you make the connection and become a part of the Soundbites program. Around the table with me this hour, representatives of two of the major users groups in the Rochester area. From PCQ, the IBM Compatible Group, we have Debbie DeNome, Bob Bysang, and Dave Woodruff. And from the Apple Cider Group, which of course covers the Apple II and Mac world, we have Ron Doherty, their president. 263-WXXI is how you make contact. Good afternoon. You're on the air on Soundbites.
Yes. Esther was kind enough to let me call again. I'm the previous caller. And I wonder if you people could answer another couple of quick, easy questions. And that is it better to be more specific in one area and try to leverage yourself that way, or is it better to be a generalist in this rapidly changing field and thereby show your propensity to learn things rapidly? You know, because that's obviously what you people are doing in your groups.
Are you software or hardware?
Both. I was primarily hardware. I'm getting really good at the software now. I know about four languages pretty well, and I could probably market myself in two of them.
Looking at what's happening right now, it's blossoming databases, and anything that hooks into a database that even remotely looks like a database is really where things are going.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, you're going to see things like, and it's coming, that the buzzwords of the day are objects, object-oriented things, mm-hmm. object-oriented databases. You're going to see things like images, for instance, drawings, CAD drawings, anything that you could define as an image handled with a database and some sort of interface up front that insulates you from knowing that it is a database. And I would say that's the burgeoning area that if I was smart enough to do that, that's where I would want to be, I would think.
What publications, sir, do you generally think, since there are numerous quantity of those as well, which most closely follow the land-type industry and the interconnectivity industry, or do all of them have a pretty reasonable say?
PC Week follows it fairly well. Land Magazine follows it fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few other land-related things that follow it fairly well, but generally they all do a fair job. It's mostly what's new type mm-hmm. of thing. Is that, I don't know what you were exactly after.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty much what I was looking for. It's just that it seems to me that this tremendous field that has all these opportunities is very segmented in a lot of different ways. And, there's no real problem. If you know exactly what you're doing and exactly what little subfield you're a specialist in, but if you're trying to get into that type of thing, there are other complications that obviously are not a function of your capability level. So, I don't know. I guess I'm just enjoying your show and trying to figure out where the future is going to be in the next 4 or 5 years. And I see microcomputers and micro and nanocomputers, and, it's astonishing.
Databases is where it's going to be.
Okay, so database management systems and interconnectivity.
Definitely.
Okay, thank you again for allowing me to be on the air. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. We're delighted to hear from you. We'll be getting back to the phones, incidentally, again at 263-WXXI in just a moment to take another call. Before we do, I've got a quick question, which comes out of some discussions we had before the broadcast. Would it be fair to say, taking a look at your two groups, that the membership, the characteristics of the membership, kind of tends to mirror the differences between Mac users and PC users? Because I get the feeling that the PC people are much more business and engineering oriented, and the Mac and the Apple II people are much more individual users and educational and research oriented people. Am I right in that?
Yeah, I think so, very much. From a combined meeting that we had back in August between the two groups met as a whole, I think we saw much more of the business industry orientation in the IBM side, and whereas the Apple Cider side tends towards more educators, which fall under the Apple II category and somewhat under the Mac category, and a lot of individual contractors and independent programmers and so on who fall into the Macintosh category, and home users also.
Whereas the PC world tends to be a little more corporate, perhaps?
Well, PC Cubed is an unusual organization in that respect. It does not reflect the standard users group you find in other places, and I like to compare us against the Home Group Computer Club in California. They are primarily a hardware group where their love of their lives is how do I hand solder a board together to be able to run my modem. We don't do that at PC Cubed. We are a users group. In other words, our concern is towards end users. And yes, we tend to concentrate towards the business area, although I would have to say a fair amount of our users are individuals. In fact, of the SIG groups, of the special interest groups that we have, one of them was genealogy, what was run by a personal gentleman who was retired. An investment SIG, again, also run by individuals who, gee, I want to be able to trade all my compact stock or whatever.
Which you better do right about now.
via the computer. And that was the kind of interest that we have, right, as opposed to other areas that I know Apple Cider is interested in. Right. We crossed periodically, and that's when we had our joint meeting.
Okay, let's go to the phones again. Hi, you're on the air with us.
Hello, Bob. I just wanted to speak up for education for people who are wondering about whether they should bother going to school or not. I had to speak at a local high school for Career Day a few weeks back. Doing some research, I found that most people seem to think the best thing to get would be a good four or five-year degree in a place like RIT, where you both learn the theoretical background in computer science, and you have a chance to spend some time in co-op. That would give you the best bet of getting a job when you get out.
Sounds like good advice. I guess we would all concur with that, right? And I thank you very much, and let's go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I use a PageMaker of Eldis with my Mac, and I'm trying to upgrade it, and I have called several times this week to the Eldis Corporation in Seattle, which is not an 800 number, and I'm on hold for extended periods, have left messages when they asked and not received an answer, and I was wondering, is there another way to get an upgrade without buying a new program?
What version are you using right now?
2.0a.
Okay, one of the individualities of all this is that their support is something you pay for. You buy the program and you don't get a free support line. You have to pay a certain fee each year for all the support. Without that, you can send in a letter to all this requesting an upgrade. It will cost you X amount of dollars depending on when you actually bought your version. Other than that, come down to the Macintosh users group, Apple Cider, the second Wednesday of this month, and we can put you in contact with people there who may be able to expedite the process a bit.
Okay, and incidentally, both users groups have meetings upcoming, and again, Ron, you've just mentioned yours. PC Cubed is, I believe, on the 8th at the
Our
Holiday Inn?
Our meeting is the 8th at the Holiday Inn at 6:30.
Okay, very good. So we wanted to make sure, if you're interested, you had an idea where to go for both.
That's the Holiday Inn by the airport on 390,
right,
Brooks Avenue.
And I just wish we had more time. We've got some more listener questions, but obviously those meetings of those user groups are probably going to be packed with some folks who are very much interested in what's going on, and we want to thank all of you for participating on this segment of Soundbites on WXXI 1370.